This is when we discuss recent activities and items of interest.
We have
anyone doing anything interesting? I would love to hear Director Anderson's appraisal of the latest PFMC meeting.
I'd be happy to do that. Before we do that, Madam Chair, just request, we had a blue sheet submitted at the last, I believe it was the last commission meeting with Pinto Abalone, I think it is.
Right, right.
And
that's right.
There was some reference to having a briefing at the May commission meeting, which there isn't one. So
it was supposed to be the April meeting.
The April meeting. We would like to do this in concert with NOAA folks, and we were hoping we would be able to do that and schedule it for June rather than April.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Chair,
that was my blue sheet, and I concur. I left that open. I said that April would be the preferred date, but if it slipped, that would be fine, too. So if, as far as I'm concerned, that's all right.
Right. Good. I can't imagine any objections to scheduling that for June and bringing together our full complement of resources, including NOAA. So that sounds fine.
Yeah, Phil, a question. You have other stakeholders and other collaborators on this project as well. I'm assuming that they're playing a pretty major part, that they will be there as well as the federal and state agencies.
Mr. Mankin, this is Craig Burley. We're in the process of reaching out to the partners that are working on the Pinto Abalone restoration and would develop a briefing based on folks that could participate.
Yeah, thank you, Craig.
Thanks. Okay, Director Anderson, do you want to give us a little update on the Sacramento meeting?
Sure. Thanks, Madam Chair. Just got back last night from a week down in Sacramento. Probably three particular areas that we spent a lot of, four areas that we spent a lot of time on. Of course, the first being the development of the ocean options for salmon fisheries for 2014. The council approved a package that includes three alternatives that will be put out for public review. We did get our news release out last night that describes those three alternatives. Really a great group of stakeholders from Washington that participated, flew down there. We had some folks there from Nia Bay, La Push, Westport, Ilwaco, as well as the Columbia River inland, lower river anyway. And just hats off to those folks who worked together really well and collaborated along the way. We also, of course, had a significant staff presence there, modelers and people that work on the salmon team like Doug Millward and Wendy Beagley. And we've got a suite of alternatives out there for public review. They include Chinook quotas that are a little bit higher than last year, not a lot, but a little bit. The lower Columbia River tules proved to be the constraining stock for the most part. There are increased quotas anticipated for Alaska and Canada as a result of the upriver brights being a lot stronger. I mean, they're out of that 1.6 million, they represent about over 900,000 of that as upriver brights. Those don't contribute a lot to the ocean fisheries, but obviously they do to Alaska and Canada, as well as, of course, the Columbia River. But nevertheless, we ought to be able to have some good Chinook opportunity in ocean fisheries this year. Coho was also, the forecast is up. Actually, it was almost double from what it actually was last year. So we were able to provide some significant increases in the alternatives relative to coho quotas. One of the encouraging pieces, there's kind of two primary components of the Columbia River hatchery production. One is we call the early stock, kind of comes out of a tootle brood stock that primarily turns south when it leaves the river. And then there's the late component that comes out of a cowlet stock that primarily turns to the north, obviously contributing to Washington fisheries. That component of the coho aggregate is forecast to be up quite a little bit, higher than we've seen it in quite a few years. So that ought to bode well for coho opportunity. The Thompson, Interior Fraser or Thompson, is again going to be a restrictive, restrict our ability to get at abundant stocks. You'll recall we have a 10% exploitation rate ceiling, so that'll be a challenge as we go into north of Falcon. The wheat stock is also down a little bit, quite a little bit, but still pretty healthy, but we were also watching that, as well as the Grace Harbor Control Zone that's specified in the newly adopted Grace Harbor policy is closed in all three alternatives. So that takes us off then and moves us into the North of Falcon process that starts Monday. Actually, I've got a meeting out with the tribes here in just a little while to work a kind of a gnarly issue that we've gotten into relative to how we go about forecasting or estimating H2 Chinook stocks in the model in South Sound and Mid Sound. Columbia River, the Columbia River constituents will be meeting on Monday. The Puget Sound North Falcon folks are meeting with the tribes on Monday. So this next week, the North Falcon process gets kicked in earnest. So that's just an overview of the salmon piece. The second piece had to do with the how we go about predicting sardine abundance. We are seeing a decline in sardine abundance, a pretty significant decline. The water temperature goes into the formula where that is used to come up with a sardine productivity forecast. It's historically been taken at Scripps Pier. They're looking at expanding where those temperatures are taken. And so I think as we went through this buildup of the sardine resource and its expansion to the north all the way into Canada, we're seeing that now trail back off. Even though there's only been a 15% exploitation rate on that stock, we're seeing the natural fluctuations that we've seen over time with that stock, and so it appears that it is forecast to be down significantly this year, and we'll have to see how that goes. But there's particular attention being paid to how they go about estimating the abundance of that stock. So more to come on that. The third issue had to do with how nearshore rockfish are managed, and in particular species like China rockfish, tiger rockfish, black rockfish, those species. We joined up with the states of Oregon and California. We're looking to a different approach to managing nearshore stocks. Washington is unique in that we do not have any commercial fisheries inside 3 miles. And as a matter of fact, we really don't have even our fisheries outside 3 miles are very restrictive. That is not true with Oregon and California, where they have commercial fisheries inside 3 miles in state waters. There's a new stock assessment for China rockfish that is. In a lot of ways based on catch per unit of effort data. So it's fishery-dependent data along Oregon and California, where they've seen their CPUE go down. We have not seen that in Washington. We think that's has a lot to do with the fact that we've had very restrictive and conservative regulations inside 3 miles with no commercial fisheries. We've seen our CPUE and our recreational fisheries stay at a static level over a long base period, and so we're not interested in getting dragged down and having China rockfish become kind of our yellow eye rockfish because of a potential overexploitation stock in Oregon and California. So that's another one that we've spent quite a little bit of time on and devoted quite a bit of energy to. There's going to be five instead of four. The other piece had to do with the drift gillnet fishery. There's a drift gillnet fishery for swordfish off California. I have fought hard to not have that gear be legal off in the outside 3 miles off the coast of Washington, and nor is it off of Oregon. We've been successful there. There's been an effort made to expand the area where drift gillnet fishing is allowed off the central, southern California. It's primarily in the southern half of the state. Fought that. We're successful in not having anything done in terms of expansion of the area, but I'm more advocating for having that gear phased out and so that it's no longer used in anywhere along the West Coast. And so there's a lot of discussion and debate around that topic. And then the last one is Pacific albacore. We're going to have a new stock assessment coming out on that here before too long. There's the U.S.-Canada albacore treaty negotiations that we've been involved in, and it has to do with the reciprocal agreement. That's a feature of the treaty where there's a specific maximum number of vessels from Canada that can fish in the U.S. EEZ. That was cut in half last year from about more than half, from about 110 down to, I believe it's 43. They haven't agreed on a fishery regime for 2014 with the Canadians yet. There's a negotiating session on April 21st and 22nd. David Hogan from the State Department was out, whom I have known quite a while and had a chance to talk with him. So there is some desire by Washington, particularly Washington-based albacore fishers, to also have access to Canadian waters, and we have begun to see redistribution of albacore into Canadian waters, particularly last year, which makes that reciprocal agreement somewhat more important to Washington than folks off Oregon and California who are advocating that there be no reciprocal access between the two countries. So that's the last piece, and then just next week, I'm the commissioner that sits on the U.S.-Canada Whiting Treaty that represents the Pacific Council. There's four commissioners from each country. I'm headed up to Vancouver, BC on Monday for through Thursday to meet with the Canadians and set total allowable catch levels for Canadian and U.S. West Coast fisheries this coming week.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Director Anderson? The beginning of the North of Falcon effort, all-out team effort. And Commissioner Carpenter and Commissioner Mankin will be attending some of those meetings.
Yes, that's true.
Madam Chair, this is Commissioner Kehoe. I will be there as well.
Okay, yes, of course. Of course you'll be there. all right, thank you for that summary. Are there any other items of interest that commissioners want to bring up?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Smitten.
Go ahead, Commissioner Smitten.
At our commission meeting in Moses Lake a week ago, we got a good briefing from a Deputy Director Store on the Wanapum Dam issue. And that issue is sliding into the near crisis stage with the one bay offline, affecting two dams above and probably all the dams below. We're within 30 days now of receiving adult fish back, and I just want to make sure people understand what's at stake here. You know, the overall upriver total spring Chinook run is estimated to be at 227,000. That's up from 123,100. So that's a mega run. The portion of it in the upper Columbia obviously is much less as they break off from some of the lower Columbia rivers than in the Snake River as well. But there's still 24,100 due back in the upper Columbia above last year's 18,000 level. So that's the first effect. The secondary effect, although it's just massive in the upper Columbia, will be sockeye, and that will be a June-July issue. 347,100 predicted back. That's up from 186,100. We ask as a commission to receive updates, periodic updates, but frequent, and to make this an issue for our fish committee. I know that this will come up at the River Public Review of Fisheries on Monday. I know that the fishing community is getting very angst about, especially upriver adult passage. Downriver adult passage seems to be covered in that it's on one side of the river that still is watered versus the other side where the adults would go up. We've heard some preliminary discussions of alternatives of getting fish around the dam, including a artificial attraction pond and trucking. I guess my point is the nervousness is increasing. There is so much at stake. It's unbelievable what is at stake in this fishery, and so keeping us informed is going to be helpful so we can keep the public informed as well. You know, I know Grant is holding, for a while they were daily, but now at least twice a week briefings, and if we hear of anything of what will be done with our spring Chinook, it would sure be good to get that out to the public. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
This is Phil. Thanks, Commissioner Schmidt. And I will send you the, I just got the latest information on efforts to make repairs to that monolith. It's the fourth monolith out of 12 that are in the spillway. We met with Grant County, Tony Webb, who's their general manager, and Chuck Berry, who's the assistant general manager, just this week. getting those fish ladders operational. You will see in this PowerPoint I will send you is one of their top priorities. Obviously, getting in there, and they're going to be doing some drilling to look at trying to make some understand of the extent of the problem, and then formulate a plan for repair. Their preferred option relative to the fish ladders would be to make modifications to those existing fish ladders to operate at reduced river elevations. You know, that could include things like using pumps to provide water at the upper end of the Wanapum fish ladder. Designs are to be reviewed by NOAA and us and the tribes, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's also a parallel option that is a trap and haul, which obviously is not, I mean, it's not the preferable way, but it might be something that would be in addition to trying to get those fish ladders operational as quickly as possible. There's contracts for transport trucks being researched and reviewed. There's a, you know, daily conference calls with the Mid-Columbia stakeholders, including BPA, the Corps, Bureau of Reclamation, and power purchasers. They're looking at adjusted headwater elevation operating range between 541 and 545 feet to allow greater flexibility. So they're working their tails off to try to come up with a solution as quickly as possible. They know these fish are on their way. We know we have to have a solution for passage. So, I mean, it's an all-out effort on the part of the folks to try to fix this. So I'll send that to you. Jim Brown is our lead, and he is sending me updates, sometimes multiple updates daily. And the folks at Grant County have been really, really good too about communicating with us, as well as being really aggressive and doing everything they can to try to look out for the welfare of the fish.
Thanks, Phil. That was really helpful.
Yes, it was. So was the brief presentation that Regional Director Brown provided us in Moses Lake. He did an excellent job. Didn't expect that he would introduce himself to us, but he did a marvelous job. Okay, any other topics? I think then we are ready to adjourn this conference call. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend.